We're going to do a little bit of interviewing this morning for a job. No, I'm just kidding. I'd like to invite Holly up. That's good. You don't even know what she's going to say yet. That's awesome. It's going to be great. So I'm going to hand this mic off to Holly.
Good morning.
Well, Holly, thanks for joining us this morning. I'm going to ask her a couple of quick questions, and then we'll kind of get into the meat of why she's up here. But Holly, would you just tell us a little bit about who you are and your family, job, easy stuff?
So I am a single mom of two little boys, Max and Lincoln, and I work for a travel nursing company in their compliance department. Been there for 10 and a half years, so doing that, and then just taking care of my kids.
That's awesome.
Keeping them alive. It's hard.
I love it. So can you tell us a little bit about what brought you to BACC, Blue Ash Community Church, and how or why this kind of became home for you?
Yeah, so we live over like in the Reading and Lachlan area, and I don't know if you guys know this, but the drummer, which I get told all the time, is one of the principals at the Lachlan school, because it's one giant school, but it's split up into three. And so he put together something fantastic for the kids, for Meet the Teacher. And we were there, and they had this little, like, stand set up and stuff, and they had, like, free hot dogs and waters and chips and volunteers from the church just literally all over this giant parking lot. And it looked like a party was going on when we walked up. I'm like, this is going to be awesome. And I had no idea.
It was hot, too, I remember.
Yeah, it was very hot. So we did not stay for the festivities. but on our way out, we had stopped by the stand to get water because it was, like, ridiculously hot. And the boys were grumpy. They were 6.5 and 5, so they were, like, not having it. And Jana was there, and she just, like, stole my heart. I love her to pieces. She was so kind but also so real, and she, like, was, like, trying to, like, joke around with the boys, and she finally got them to take a hot dog and some chips. And then I saw a note card sitting on the table under the tent with the information for, what was it, like the summer fest?
One of our big Sundays.
Summer fest, yeah, something. And I'm like, you know what, we're going to go. And it was a few weeks later, so it wasn't even like that same, like the next week, and it was like a couple weeks later. And I was like, well, you know what, we're going to go check it out. So we did, and I fell in love with everybody here. You're all just beyond kind. Like, this place literally just radiates the Holy Spirit. I can't. I love everyone. but yeah, so that's how we came here.
That's awesome.
And now you're stuck with us, so.
That's okay. They're stuck with me too, so sorry guys. So before we jump into the next question, I just want to preface, there's a class is a loose term for it, experience, called Hearing God's Voice. We did it a couple weeks back. Many of you have taken it. We offer it a few times a year. But to set the tone of what that is, it's about a half an hour to 45 minutes of some teaching on just the different ways God speaks, and kind of a crash course in opening our minds to the fact that God's trying to speak a heck of a lot more than we give him credit for, and way more than we're listening to. And so from there, after you've had lunch and you've listened to the talk, you go out throughout the church, and there's different stations that are just meant to help you experiment the different ways to listen to God. And it's by no means an exhaustive list. It's just some ways that we've learned, that Activation Ministries has learned, that help us to just focus in on the Lord and hear what he has to say for us, and to just not tune out the little things that go through our minds and hearts every day that we just write off as, well, nothing. But God's wasting no moments, no time. He's expanding his kingdom all the time. And this is kind of the class where we press into that a little bit and experiment and get to try it and practice it, because anything takes practice. So Holly had an interesting experience with it, and she said she was willing to share it, which is awesome. I think that always helps to spur all of us on. So I'm going to ask a couple quick questions about it before we get into the meat of it. But going into hearing God's voice the first time, you've never been, how did you feel going into it? Was it nervous? Was it excited? What did you expect?
I wasn't sure what to expect. I'm newer to religion, so I try to pray, but I don't feel like I really do it the right way. So I was kind of hoping even just to get that out of the class. And so I was excited, but I was nervous because I was afraid I wasn't going to, like, hear anything or I wasn't really going to experience anything. And I was wrong. Big time wrong. Really wrong, which is phenomenal.
That's so awesome. I'll share your pain in that. Even when I go into a class like that, having done it many times, I still have this nagging, what if he doesn't speak? What if God doesn't do anything? Like, what God am I serving that's right. not going to do anything? So we're all there. I don't want to speed too far ahead, but let's just jump in. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened in the time you spent at Hearing God's Voice?
Yeah, for sure. So to start things off, I have always had this knowledge that we're supposed to be helpers. I've always taught my boys that we're helpers. If you see somebody who's in need or if you see someone who looks lonely, you reach out. Like, that's just the nice human thing to do. So going into it, I was hoping that that was, like, the message that I would receive, that that was kind of, like, my purpose. And luckily it was. So we started off with them talking, with the couple talking, Kristen and Jason.
Yep.
Jason. And they're phenomenal. He was funny, and she's just so soft-spoken and stuff. It was really easy to kind of, like, take everything in. And they started it off, too, by stating that, you know, really in order to, like, receive things from God, you kind of have to get to know him first, like, start off as a baby, which is really the point that I'm at because I'm just entering my faith. And so they talked and they went over some stuff and then we went out and I decided to start at the very end. And I went to the first thing, which was this big tub of just sand. And we were supposed to ask what God has promised to us. And I kind of asked that, but then I also was like, what's my purpose? Because that's really what I've been trying to, like, find out for so long. Like, what is my purpose here? And I'm digging in the sand. I've got my eyes closed, and I'm, like, trying to listen, trying to figure out how to do this. And then all of a sudden, I hear helper. And I'm like, okay, well, was that just me talking in my head because I've always told myself that I'm a helper? Or is that something higher than me? And then all of a sudden, like, as I'm mid-thinking this sentence, I hear helper, 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 like, on repeat. And I was like, okay, I got it. Like, it was you. It was not me. Because it was just, like, a fleeting, like, thought. And sometimes it's hard to discern whether that's you or not. So I moved on from there, and I went to the exercise in the big kids' room and stuff, and didn't think that I had got much from there, but it turns out that maybe I did, and I just haven't quite figured out what it is yet. So if I ever figure it out, I'll share that with you as well. But then I went to the first exercise, which was up front. And we were supposed to ask God to give us one word to describe what he thinks about us. And I heard helper again. And then they wanted us to ponder this question, which was, God, what special or unique things did you craft in me? And then they wanted us to look around the room and lean in and see if we were drawn to, like, any object. And I was kind of like, this part's a little weird. So I'm, like, looking around. There's, like, a Christmas tree here, and there's coffee stuff there, and I love coffee, but that was not it. So I'm, like, looking back, and then I look over towards the tree, and out of the corner of my eye, I see this little lantern with a fake candle in it, and I was like, okay. So I turned, and I looked at it, and I closed my eyes, and I was trying to, like, imagine it lit up because it wasn't turned on, and I was, like, imagining it lit up, and I wasn't really getting anything. So then I opened my eyes. And as soon as I opened my eyes, I heard in my head, you are to help light the path for others. This is what you are to do. And I, like, got real emotional there because, I mean, that was, like, a full sentence. That wasn't just, like, a word. And I literally heard it in my head, and it was just mind-boggling. And that was great. Like, I really feel like that is something that I can do. And if that's what I'm supposed to do, I would consider that to be a helper. You know, helping light the path for others to find God and Christ and everything. So then after that, I had gone over to this little table set up. And you could hear the music from the other room playing and everything. And then you were supposed to, what was it? Sorry, these were really long things that you were supposed to think. it was asked to God to form a picture in your mind of what your secret identity looks like. And then you were supposed to try and draw it, which I did not do because I'm not an artist. wasn't even going to attempt it. But so I'm sitting there and I'm like, waiting for like a picture to show up in my mind, and I didn't necessarily see like a snapshot like some people see, but like I could see it slowly forming, and it was beautiful. It was this picture of me with this huge smile on my face chasing these giggling children. They looked like they were probably around 3 or 4 years old, and just in the vision, you could just see like the Holy Spirit radiating, and there was like just this inner peace that I had looking at the photo. So it was just walking away from there, like I was kind of like already like emotionally spent. Like it was overwhelming, but in the best way possible. But the whole experience was phenomenal. So
that's awesome. Thank you for sharing all of that. I love that you asked for purpose, and you got about as clear as, I mean, how many people have asked, what's my purpose in life, ever? Yeah, we kind of asked that question somewhere nagging in the back of our head. Am I doing anything worth anything? Right. And I feel like you got a pretty good answer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be light to the world. Small order.
Right.
So you started feeling these things. You started kind of hearing some what seemed very clear from the Lord. So now after all that, you kind of mentioned that you felt seen. How do you feel now, and what does that mean for you to be seen, and what importance does that hold?
I mean, I left here with a peace. I was nice and calm. Anything that happened, like, it was just wasn't that big of a deal until Thanksgiving hit and the kids were crazy. And then it was like, so I'm looking for that inner peace again. But at the end of the class, after we like all got to share our stuff, Kristen and Jason had mentioned that they were, you know, praying for us all while we were out there doing our things and like asking for God to like show them or give them words to like give back to us. And I got quite a few. I got strong but soft, which I definitely feel like as a single parent, especially, you have to be strong. But then you've got this soft spot for your kids. And then they also got chosen and ideas. They saw a light bulb over my head, and I have ideas constantly running through my mind. So, like, that alone, just them having seen that about me, when that's how I feel like I am on the right path, and I feel like I am being seen because it's not just me that feels that way or that sees me that way. They do, too. And God, obviously.
That's really awesome. I appreciate you sharing all of that. Yeah. So this might sound a lot like a plug for Hearing God's Voice as a class, right? That's not what this is. This is about giving testimony to what God is doing in Holly's life. Don't get us wrong. I think we both... Do you hear those kids? That's awesome. I love
They're
it.
They're going crazy.
Those are her kids.
Literally.
But, I think we'd both encourage you to go take this course because it gives you an opportunity to press deeper into what God has for you. But that's what this is. This is about sharing what God is doing because it spurs us all on. So I just want to pray over Holly before we close. So I'm actually going to take her mic back, and it's going to be a weird transition. But thank you so much, Holly.
Of course.
You mind if I put my hand on your shoulder? Jesus, we just thank you for the way you love us. We thank you that you speak in so many different ways, and God, that you just continue to honor our pursuit of you. God, when we press into you, you don't leave us just searching and on dry land. You take us deep into the waters of your love and your grace and your mercy and peace. God, and you see us. God, I pray that for Holly, God, that these encounters with you continue, that she has more words in her life that are from you, God, and more consistency of passion into her purpose. God, but I pray that each person in this room would feel seen in this moment and today by you, God. God, we thank you for your heart and your heart for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Holly.
Yes, please clap. All right. Good morning. My name is Cody. I'm one of the pastors here at Blue Ash Community Church. Thank you guys so much for joining us this morning. And stories are powerful, are they not? And that's a good celebration of the greatest story, that which we will be celebrating here shortly, of Christmas. And so we love stories. In fact, you can share your stories. We have a website you can go to, I mean, your email address you go to, and to tell us your story. We are in our series called Wrapped Up. And it's really easy to get wrapped up in our gifts, the giving of gifts, trying to get gifts somewhere, maybe by Amazon, UPS. But sometimes we get distracted from the greatest gift, which is Jesus Christ. And so in the season of holidays, in the season of getting distracted, especially from the foundations of what Christmas is truly about, the beautiful thing is that distractions are not new. It's not new. There are plenty of stories in Scripture here that tells us that distractions are not new. And it's not new for believers to be distracted from the main thing. In the letter of Hebrews is where we're going to go jump into. Their audience is distracted. They've forgotten about Jesus. They're distracted from their old ways. This is a predominant Jewish culture that the writer is speaking into. And so the Jewish culture was seeping back into their ways. They went back to their old ways. And we, too, sometimes get distracted and go back to old ways. If we don't work out, don't eat right, we seek food as comfort, something happens, right? Just one person. One person just laughed. Just it only happens to one person. Okay. What about when we get distracted and we occupy our time away from church and the community of God's people? What happens when we get distracted and we're not in God's word? What typically happens? Worry, fear, anxiety. Why? Because we have the Prince of Peace spoken to us through his word. We get distracted. And today is a message about how we can be grounded and not get distracted. I would love for you to pray with me. God, I pray this morning that we would, that God, we will come before your throne. And that God, we will, God, you would remove the distractions from our hearts. That God, that you would draw us to the throne of grace. And that our hearts will be yearning for your heart, God. We pray these things in your mighty name. Amen. So if you have your Disciples Bible, I would love for you all to turn to page 1923. If you don't have a Bible, by all means, you can get up right now and go get one. If you want one online, just please let us know. We'll love to send you one. So 1923, we're going to be in Hebrews. I want to look at Hebrews 5:11 because it's going to jump into our chapter 6 here. So if you want to read with me, 1923, Hebrews 5:11. We have a great deal to say about this, and it's difficult to explain since you have become too lazy to understand. This is going to be a great message. Although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the basic principles of God. Aren't you so glad you came here? Okay, which is a revelation again. You need milk, not solid food. Now, everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness because he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil. So we have a standard as Christ followers. And that standard is moving towards maturity in Christ. Ephesians 5:1 says we are to be the imitators of Christ. So our goal is to move closer and closer to the image of Christ Jesus. And so the author here, which I believe is Paul, but you know there's some controversy on that, so we'll say author. The author here, truly, it kind of sounds very harsh. He embarrasses readers for their juvenile incapacity to digest solid food, which he would love to give, but yet they are on milk. And the problem is not so much infancy like a child, but it's actually laziness. The Greek word here is called sluggish. And so imagine trying to get a middle-aged man to get off the couch, stop playing video games, eating pizza, and does something with their life, right? Yeah, that picture, maybe too close to home. I'd search something, say, right? All right. The author's original hearers have been following Jesus long enough that their immaturity is inexcusable. They ought to be teachers. Which, so this is not a knowledge or a knowledge comprehension. This is just laziness. They are to do something. And now, not every Christian is called to be in pastoral teaching, but we are all called into maturing in our grasp of biblical truth and its application. And the author mentions that they need someone to teach them the basic principles. The Greek word here is actually speaking about alphabet. So they need somebody to teach them the ABCs all over again. You might be asking, what are the ABCs? What would the author want them to do with the information that has been given? And that's when we jump into chapter 6. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. Scripture says, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary teaching about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works, faith in God, teaching about ritual washings, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And we will do this if God permits." The basics the author is trying to get truly lies in, not so much, again, knowledge, but I love how he ends verse 3, "through the permission of God." Sometimes we can know things, but we need God to permit that knowledge for the transformation of doing things. God permits. God wants maturity. God is permitting the maturity. So let's go over the foundations that's spoken about in this letter. So I don't want this to be kind of like fundamentalism, like, oh, here's the 4 points and walk in this. What the letter of the author says, here's some foundations of truth. One, let's look at it. It says, repentance from dead works. So the author is calling them away from dead works of the law. The law, in their mind, was a self-salvation. It's hard to do that with a mic, and you're like, that didn't really help. It's dead works right there. An application. So dead works is trying to save yourself through your works so that you want to be recognized by God. He says, lay the foundation is you can't, no one can, we all can't come before God with our works. We are to turn from dead works into a relationship. So this isn't about stopping bad habits, but it's a heart yearning towards God. Repentance is turning away from the things that we believe to the things that God believes. Not as Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 says, not leaning on your own understanding, but on God's, and he will light your path. So I love how the author starts, the foundation, repenting and opening your heart towards God. You want to hear from God? He needs a heart of willingness to submit to his will. And over the staff retreat, we were working on a book. It's called Fresh Encounter with God. It's by Henry and Richard Blackaby. And it spoke about how revivals start. And it started with individual repentance. If you go back to the Great Awakenings, it typically started with a group of young people or people together, and they gathered and they repented, and an awakening started. So revival starts with God's people. I want to kind of go over a description of revival, and it's breaking the phonics or syntax of the word revival. The word revive consists of two Latin words, re, which means again, vive, which means to live. So therefore, when you put them together, it is to be brought back to life. And I was shocked by this because I thought revivals is for like non-Christians who are in some backwoods southern country tent, holding snakes. That's my description of revivals, white tents, you know. But reading more into this book, revival starts with repentance within God's people, individual repentance. And that created a ripple through the congregation or the great awakenings. Drawing near to God so that God can draw near to you. And that's actually in James 4:8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. How do we draw near to him? How do we purify our hearts? It starts with a reviving of repentance before God, confessing that we are not good enough. And it's only through Christ Jesus can we approach the throne of grace, which is actually in Hebrews 3. And what connects to reviving is our next thing, which is found is a faith in God. See, repentance, I believe, has to be joined to faith too, because we have to trust that God is listening to our repentance, right? We're trusting that God is hearing us, and that's what we just talked about in God's voice. We want to hear from God's voice. Well, we have to trust that he is speaking to us. And faith in God is a daily task, and we're called to trust in Jesus more and more each day. And faith in God must be included in faith in the gospel, the good news. That it's about being satisfied about what Jesus has done on the cross rather than what we can do. Jesus said it himself while he was on the cross. He said, "It is finished." And if you're wondering what is finished, dead works. No longer are we to approach the throne of grace with, "This is what I can do for you, God." He said, "I've already did it. Trust." For God came from heaven to live the life we ought to suffer the punishment that we deserve. Why? So that we can approach him with faith. Works will not clean us. Only faith in Jesus' finished works on the cross, his death, his resurrection. And when we put trust and we have faith in that, our hearts start to open up. And we'll be able to hear God's word. It's not a mistake that the author starts with repentance and faith. He also speaks about another foundational faith, which is he speaks about, it's called the teaching about ritual washings. And I believe, and there's some controversy on here, but I believe that he's speaking about baptism because the Greek word that he's using here is baptismoi. So I believe it's baptism, baptismoi. I'm not a smart man, but, you know, 2 + 2 = 4 sometimes. So my wife is a math teacher. She said sometimes. So I believe he's speaking about baptism, which baptism is a foundational faith. Jesus himself was baptized, and we practice baptism here at Blue Ash Community Church, and we believe that's a symbol. But some people actually believe that you can cleanse yourself through baptism. Some people believe that you can be saved through baptism. And we take the position on it doesn't do any of that, but it's a symbol of us as Jesus. Jesus was baptized. He didn't need any cleansing, and he didn't need any forgiveness. What was it? It was a symbol of him starting his earthly ministry. So we take that stance of baptism that it's that symbol of faith. Lord, I'm wanting a deeper relationship with you. And then he uses the laying on hands. What is that? Well, this would be the act that I believe is practicing associated with imparting of the Holy Spirit, which is another foundation that we believe that once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God will impart himself in you. And sometimes we ask while we're praying for you to put our hands on you. Now, I do want to say this, though, wow, Cody never put his hands on me when he prayed for me, then the Spirit of God's not in it. No, we're not that legalistic, So, but it is a practice of laying on hands when somebody is hurting, when somebody needs comfort, when somebody needs healing. What do? They lay hands on one another, and they would put oil on one another. And again, it's just a symbol of trusting that the Lord of God, the Spirit of God, is going to move. Another foundation says that is the resurrection of the dead. We spoke about this, and this comes from Romans 6, 1 Corinthians 15, that if Jesus was not raised from the dead, our faith is worthless. And if Jesus is raised from the dead and we believe in him, we have faith in him, repented to him, guess what? We too will be raised from the dead, which if we are raised from the dead, we will be spared from the next one, which is eternal judgment. The God of Israel and of the church is going to judge the earth. This is a doctrine with a central part of the New Testament and Old Testament. With our faith in Christ Jesus, the repentance of our hearts, believing that the Spirit of God was imparted in us, that we live by the Spirit, not in flesh, we will be spared from eternal judgment, which is good news. We call that the gospel. We can't, but he can, and he's done so. And God doesn't intend for us to move past the gospel for some deeper understanding of Christianity. There is a misconception that we believe that the gospel is ankle-deep water that we stick our toes in. The gospel is what you swim in. And if I can wrap up this series with something, it would be that. If I can wrap up our year in the Bible, is that the gospel is not ankle deep. It is the ocean which you swim in. Because we tell ourselves a gospel each day. Which one are we telling ourselves? What are we telling ourselves in the midst of comfort? What are we telling ourselves when the lies of the world is spoken to us? Which gospel are we going to? Is the one who says, it's already been done, it's finished, or is it the one, I got to try harder? Trying harder is ankle deep. But the gospel which Christ offers is worth swimming in. From time's sake, I want to jump into, I'm going to jump to Hebrews 9, verse 9, I apologize. So if you're on the slides, just go up to that. Hebrews 6, 9 through 12, it says, though, even though we're speaking this way, right, even though he's really harsh, don't be lazy, right? In the verses before that, he says, don't fall away from Christ, fall away. Don't be to a point where you think repentance can't cause you to come back. He goes to this right here. Even though we're speaking this way, dearly beloved, in your case, we are confident of the things that are better and that pertain to salvation. For God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and love you demonstrated for his name by serving the saints and by continuing to serve him. Now we desire each of you to demonstrate the same diligence for the full assurance of your hope until the end, so that you won't become lazy. So he didn't say you are. So there is encouragement. You won't become lazy, but you will be imitators of those who inherit the promises through faith and perseverance. I love this because he speaks of an encouragement where we think, oh, I can't meet the standard of maturity. He says, don't worry, our God is not unjust. You're like, what does justice have to do with this? Because his wrath was put upon his son. That he spared us from that wrath. If we want fairness, if we want justice, our truth, we don't want that. Because what we deserve and what God offers is so much better. And he's saying, don't forget that God is just. He is just. Don't forget that. Or better yet, don't forget the work that has already been done through his son, Jesus Christ. Some of us may be not in the position that we want to be with God. Our relationship with God is maybe not maturing, but don't forget what has been done through the work of his son, Jesus Christ. And if it says that if you have been raised with him, which means acceptance of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, his work has been imparted on you. Don't forget the work which Jesus has done. The author knows that God is just, and he will not forget the diligence, the love, and service of which testifies to us and the readers who have truly received that the gospel is centered. The author highlights that each one of his readers was to preserve so that they have the full assurance of hope until the end. This is not salvation by works, but perseverance and service and love that demonstrates that the readers did inherit the promises through faith in Christ Jesus. So the author intends for his warning to alarm us to heed his appeal by remaining steadfast loyal to Jesus. And how can we stand firm in the foundation of our faith? How can we participate in good soil and taste the goodness of Christ and to be satisfied in his grace? It's through daily increments of trusting God more and more each day. And I believe that is for all of us this morning. We ought to trust God in our stories for our growth, and growth is connected to trusting in the Lord. The more you trust, the more you grow. The more you grow, the more you're capable of hearing God's voice. I want everybody to get out their connect cards of what Craig spoke about. And if you're online, you can go to BACCLive.com. And so our first point, we talk about this all the time, is accept Jesus Christ. It is within that, right, that we talked about earlier, is that repentance and confession that you can, that we're not good enough. The only Christ Jesus is. It requires to confess our sins. If you're like, talk about, man, Cody, I want that revival, it starts with individual repentance. God, I can't, but you can. It requires our dependency on his perfection and not ours. Which leads us to our step number two, which is continue in trusting in the Lord that demonstrates the foundation of our faith. Right? We want to grow in maturity and not to be sluggish. I'll use that word. Sluggish in our faith. You're like, Cody, well, how do I not become sluggish? How do I become mature in Christ? Well, I believe this week's going to happen where you get to choose to trust in God or trust in your own abilities. Every day that comes with parenting, with marriage, with jobs, with driving, somebody cuts you off. This week, I believe that God is going to give you an opportunity to trust him a little bit more. And I hope that you will have the courage and the perseverance to trust him. Some of you may have not given your money away. Maybe that's the step. A couple weeks ago, we gave the congregation money. Maybe you just need to take that money to the person that God's put on your heart, and you just need that encouragement. Maybe this is in your home. you just saw a preview of Thanksgiving, like, oh, this is what Christmas is going to be about. Maybe you just need to trust God with your home, with your family, where you're, with your nieces and nephews and cousins, and you just need to trust that God, His work, will work within them. So on your next step, maybe you just, maybe there's something else on there. You're like, I already know that I need to trust God in this. And the number, our point number three is to receive prayer. I believe that we need the Spirit of God to encourage us to take that next step of trusting Him. And so we will have prayer teams up here, and you can go online and send your prayer requests there. Put in your Connect card a prayer request. So we would encourage y'all to receive prayer this morning. And then our memory verse. Our memory verse is truly just let brotherly love continue. As we would talk about continuing our faith. And don't neglect to show hospitality, for by doing this, some have welcomed angels as guests without even knowing it. About this time, we're going to prepare for our offering. And you can give four ways, and you can give to the Church Center app. You can go to our website, you can BACC Give, BACC Live, if you prefer that. Right now, our ushers are going to come forward and take the offering in the Connect cards. And you can just drop that in. As they're doing that, I want to set up for communion, as we just talked about. A practice is a foundation of faith. Communion's one of those too. And so if you guys have your cracker, open it up. Remember that we say that Christ said, my body which be broken for you. That represents, the cracker represents the body which has been broken for us, so that we can have faith in God's completed works. He said, take this and remember to me. And then the wine, or the wine that Jesus had, was a symbol of the grape juice that we have, the symbol of the new covenant that has been spilt. His blood has been spilled for our new covenant. He said, take this in remembrance of me. God, thank you so much for your love and your grace, and we ask for more of you, God, so that you would increase in our lives, God, we would decrease. Pray these in your mighty name.